Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm your guest bailiff, Monty Belmonte from WRSI 93.9 The River in Northampton, Massachusetts, in for Jesse Thorne. This week, daily security beefing. Jake brings the case against his girlfriend, Janie. After a series of robberies in their neighborhood, they decided to take action to make their home more safe. Janie says closing the blinds and curtains every time they leave will deter theft. Jake says it won't make a difference and makes the house dark and drab. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
Do you often find yourself arriving late to social gatherings or appointments? Are the first words out of your mouth when you finally show up, "Sorry I'm late"? Are you convinced you give yourself enough time to get where you're going, but somehow you're still late? Do factors seemingly outside your control prevent you from being on time? Do you tend to lose track of the time? Do you ask the same question over and over again? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then this podcast is for you. Guest bailiff Monty Belmonte, swear them in.
Jake and Janie, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you Jane Curtin or Dawn Draper or whomever?
We do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that the judge, like Joni Mitchell, was raised on robbery?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
Jake and Janie, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of yours favors. I know you cannot possibly name. The booklet I hold in my hand that I read from that has nothing to do with your case and has everything to do with A, where I am, and B, the fact that I'm late, it turns out.
It sounds like a self-help book.
It is a self-help book.
I'm not sure.
Booklet.
It is a booklet.
Yes.
Here.
Okay.
Can I read you just a little bit more of chapter one? Maybe this will jog your memory. Chapter one.
Yeah.
You have to know what time it is. You probably can't believe I just wrote that sentence, but experience has shown that this simple concept is often the crux of the problem. Don't laugh. If you don't know what time it is, how can you be punctual? For now, ask yourself the following questions. Can you see a clock if you are in your bathroom, your kitchen, your dining area, your main living space, your car? Now, does that ring a bell?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. I give up. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll read you the last sentence from the book.
God, okay.
this might do
maybe,
it for
maybe
me.
This is going to do it. I feel it.
When you do arrive, remember, you have inconvenienced other people, so offer a sincere apology. No, all right. Look, I offer you both, Jake and Janie, a sincere apology, because there's no way you could know this, because it is a booklet that is sitting here in the studios of WRSI The River in Northampton, Massachusetts, where Monty Belmonte hosts the morning radio program. And it's called How Not to Be Late by Steve Harrell. Now, okay. The fact that Monty is guest bailiffing means as soon as summer hits, I escape to the internetless hills of New England. It used to be Massachusetts, but then we got internet there. And now
you have to flee the internet and go even further away.
I'm on my way up to Maine where they literally ran out of internet. They told me they couldn't give me any because they ran out.
They had one of those burners that was by the minute.
Yeah, exactly. Their whole internet system is based off of one iPhone 5C that's a hotspot for the entire Blue Hill Peninsula.
And that guy had to go to the bathroom, so nobody knew where we went.
And what that means is that I'm not doing this from my office with Jesse Thorne down in Brooklyn, where it's professional. I'm doing it having driven hundreds of miles and screeched into the parking lot late as usual to jump in here and to initially do two podcasts, but now I only have time for one, and you're the one. This book delights me because I did have something picked out for you, and maybe we'll talk about that. But this is written, you guys, by Steve Harrell, who is the founder of, in Boston, where I grew up, Steve's Ice Cream was the what would you say, the vanguard,
yeah,
of gourmet ice cream.
The inspiration to Ben and Jerry. They've admitted that it was Steve's kind of mix-in philosophy that was part of the inspiration to Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, in the 1980s,
oh wow,
Steve Harrell dropped a vanilla and chocolate bomb on the Boston area and all of New England. And it started gourmet ice cream. And it tasted real good because there was less air in it. It's more dense. That's why that
more,
ice cream tastes
more like gelato.
Yeah. And then he didn't steal anything. He sold that that franchise, Steve's, which is now out of business.
Right.
And he moved out here to the Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts, where WRSI, the River, and Monte Belmonte are located. And in Thorne's Marketplace, the crazy old mall with the creaky floors they have here, he opened up Harold's, his new ice cream place, which is now 30 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And is really
and he's retiring
good.
From there, working his way out and writing $2.95 pamphlets on how to not be late to
and
things.
And apparently he was just in the radio station.
Yes, he came by earlier today and to plug his pamphlet.
Yeah, if I hadn't been so late, I might have seen him.
A banana split at Harold's, I believe, costs more than his pamphlet does.
How not to be late. Wow. It's illustrated, and it costs $2.95. It's got an ISBN number, so you know you can get it.
This is going to sales of the pamphlet are going to skyrocket now, thanks to the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
I don't mind buzz marketing this because I've been...
And it's illustrated?
Yes. he did not illustrate it, though. It was a Smith College student that illustrated it.
Johanna Renard, who was a server at Harold's.
He's actually had 700 employees over the course of the years at that store, and a lot of them were late for a lot of different reasons. So he was trying to make a manifesto for his employees, and he thought, hey, maybe other people would find this helpful.
And it could not be a more perfect opening to this podcast, because once again, as last summer when I was driving down from Maine.
With the fresh bananas.
The fresh banana man, Jonathan, up at the I-90. Five southbound Kennebunk Service Plaza. I may see him. I don't know if he works northbound. I don't know whether I'm going to see him at the beginning of the summer or not.
Mm.
But we've been in touch. We're going to talk. But this time, once again, driving and got delayed, screeched into the parking lot of WRSI, flew through the window, through the window of my cargo van, did a somersault roll into the studio, jumped into the cans and the mic. And just started talking, how not to be late. Here it is.
You should take that with you on your rest of your New England journeys.
No, I'm going to buy my own copy.
Okay.
All right. Jake and Janie, I was going to give you a quote from a movie from 1978. I'm not going to give you any credit other than epic bragging rights for knowing it.
Okay.
The movie, though, was from 1978. You should be able to deduce this. And it was shot at the Monroeville Mall, almost entirely at Monroeville Mall. You know what it is, right, Jake?
I think so.
I think he does.
Go for it, Jake. Come on.
Dawn of the Dead.
That's right, Dawn of the Dead.
Okay. Awesome.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I went with Steve Harrell. Too bad for you, Jake, but good.
We have three claims to fame in Pittsburgh, and that's one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why you get EBR, epic bragging rights.
Yeah.
As opposed to PBR.
Right.
Right.
And you are in Pittsburgh, a place riddled
indeed
with crime and zombies.
Yeah.
That's accurate so far.
Also a wonderful city.
Beautiful.
Home to the Rex Theater, where I performed last fall. First time I'd ever been to Pittsburgh. Loved it. Hometown of Jeff Goldblum and Gillian Jacobs from Community.
I didn't know that.
Among many others.
I knew that.
Who else is? All right, then, Jake, since you're the expert, who else is from Pittsburgh? Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
Fred Rogers.
The punch.
Fred Rogers. What famous movie star, comedic movie star, was a production assistant on Mr. Rogers? Presumably, I guess, because he was also from Pittsburgh.
I do not know that one, Jake.
Do you know it, Monty?
I don't know this one.
Legendary comedic actor. Doesn't work so much anymore. Not Bill Murray.
Chevy Chase?
No. You ready?
I'm ready.
Down.
People all across this land, Mr. Rogers aficionados all across this land are yelling it into their podcast devices right now. Michael Keaton.
I'm okay with that.
Michael Keaton
worked on Mr. Rogers.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Behind the scenes, one of his first jobs.
I love
Janie
him.
Janie has a crush on Michael Keaton.
Oh my God,
I
didn't even realize.
Janie, you should get straight and develop a crush on Mr. Rogers because that guy's the boss.
I know.
I love him too.
He is.
Well, I love Pittsburgh, but you live there. There's a big difference between love and live.
Yeah.
When it comes to American cities, particularly American cities whose industry has declined. Is that fair to say? You're still rolling some steel there, right? But
we're not so much known for that anymore, right. Really.
Yeah, and it's, I've heard that it's going on. I don't know where. I don't see smoke, you know, billowing into the sky anywhere. But
it's an up and coming city for a lot of various other things, but not so much steel.
Right, but
anymore.
Like a lot of American cities that had relied on manufacturing and industry, it has had to remake itself. And I dare say, remake itself, it has. I had the greatest time there. Pittsburghians were terrific. They put French fries on their sandwiches.
Mm.
Yes, indeed they do.
And there's a lot of arts there. Oh, it's a very it's the world's most livable city or something, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what magazines say? The most livable city in the United States, affordable, good housing stock, decent people. A lot of artists and writers go there. A lot of artists and writers escape. How old are you guys and what do you do there?
I'm 27 and I'm a communications and technical writer at Carnegie Mellon University.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Right.
And I'm a marketing and support person for a website.
Okay. And you guys are in a romantic relationship but are not married.
Exactly.
Yeah, more or less. Yes.
What's the less part?
The romance?
Less romance? Or you are partially married?
This issue, yes.
Well.
Oh, way to move it along, Janie. I guess we'll talk about the issue now. Nice segue.
You like my segue?
Yeah, I like it. Technical writing. That's what she does.
Yeah, she takes the fluff out.
So, yes, I do.
All right. Jake, you submitted this dispute. Why don't you explain why you're right and Janie's wrong?
Well, I'm right because... Okay.
You live in a dangerous neighborhood.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Rogues and blackguards walking the streets.
We live in a very nice neighborhood in Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's like any neighborhood in any city. You have people, and people are different depending on the person. It's an individual thing.
Listen to this guy try to be tap dance around. Have but, you? The issue is, I'm gonna do this for you, Jake, because... All bragging rights, epic and otherwise, have now been rescinded. I put them in a box.
Oh, God.
You guys live together in some sort of apartment in a romantic relationship, even though Pittsburgh is affordable enough and you're both professionals that you could keep your own homes. That's okay. You want all the fun and romance of sharing bills. Good for you. That's fun, I guess.
And bathrooms.
Right. Bills and, bills and bathrooms. The best part of marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. And there were some break-ins on the street. Was there a break-in in your home, Jake?
No.
No. Your home has never been broken into.
There were break-ins only a few streets away, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And we rent a house. It's sort of a row house, so it's split into three.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, since we rent, there's not a lot of attention to detail as far as windows and just the overall security of the outside. So we realized that these break-ins, these people were actually just simply going through ground floor windows of homes.
Mm-hmm. Just opening them up.
Yeah. And they were doing it sometimes while people were asleep. And
there was one when they were asleep at about 2 a.m. They actually entered a house while people were sleeping. And I think it happened 2 times. The first time they got scared off and ran away. And the second time, a man actually had a gun. And I think there was a fight. So it was pretty serious.
They snuck into the same house 2 times while the same family was sleeping?
Two separate houses, two families.
Oh, it was two separate
just
houses.
Different outcomes.
All right.
Yeah.
And there was a guy and the homeowner had a gun and there was a fight. Was anyone killed or
hurt?
It.
No, I don't think the gun went off. I think there was a scuffle, and that was as intense as it got.
There's no such thing as a gun scuffle.
Unless you're hitting him on the end with the butt.
I think he got hit by the gun, so I think on occasion are gun scuffles.
He threw the gun at him.
Yeah. He threw the pistol at him, honestly.
Oh, all right.
He bashed him over the head with it.
Where are you getting the information?
From his head.
No, you mean about the break-in?
Yeah, the whole thing.
It was in the news. We also at the time belonged to a social network that was broken up by neighborhood. So we belonged to our neighborhood social network, and there was a lot of insider news. And a lot of police officers live in this neighborhood, so I think there is more information than was even in the news article.
So they're breaking into homes in the cop neighborhood?
I mean, when he says there are a lot, I wouldn't say a lot. I don't think that constitutes a lot. I think there are several retired cops around here. Yes.
Is Jake prone to these kinds of exaggerations?
Yes, without a doubt.
Janie, what is the neighborhood you live in Pittsburgh called?
Fishtown? Morningside.
Morningside.
Yes, Morningside.
Is there a Fishtown?
Is there a what?
Is there a Fishtown? Okay, so you live in Fishtown, also known as Morningside. And what's your what's your exact street address?
1234 Fake Street.
Oh, come on, guys. I'm trying to set up a neighborhood watch for you. I'm trying to set up a perimeter of Blue Blaze irregulars. Listeners to this podcast are going to go create a cordon around your house. Solve your problem.
Oh, wow. I really highly doubt that. I think they're going to rob us now.
All right. So when you heard about all these robberies, Jake, what'd you do?
Well, I texted my father. I think that was one of the first things I did. And asked him how I could I could get a gun.
Did you say, whoa? That took a hard right turn.
Yeah, okay. It escalated very quickly.
All right. You asked your dad. Where are you from, the Pittsburgh area?
More or less. I'm from up in northern Pennsylvania.
All right.
Sort of small town Pennsylvania.
Okay. Your dad owns guns?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has a gun cabinet.
All right. And you grew up shooting with your dad?
Yeah, not a whole lot. Uh-huh. I think he wanted me to, and being someone that listens to podcasts as a kid, I knew that wasn't my thing.
You didn't listen to podcasts as a kid?
I'm talking retrospectively.
Oh, right, okay.
As a kid who grew up into an adult who listens
to
podcasts.
One day you heard about some robberies in your neighborhood, and instead of locking your windows, you immediately text your dad saying, I got to get a gun.
Yeah. Our windows don't lock.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well.
They have locks.
There's no way that can be changed. You're right.
Nope.
So did your dad get you a gun?
Eventually. It took some talking, but one time I went to visit him, and he proudly gifted me a shotgun that he was given by his father as a boy, and it's literally the smallest shotgun I've ever seen.
I don't know anything about shotgun sizes, so is it like miniature for like shooting Shetland ponies, like those bad Shetland ponies we talked about the other time,
or donks,
especially ill-mannered ones?
Yeah.
What is the what is the gauge of the shotgun? Well, I tell you, Monty, if Northampton, Massachusetts knew we were having a conversation about guns right now. You don't know the gauge of this?
I kept calling it a 22 shotgun, and he corrected me.
And what did he say? Was it correct?
It's a 20 gauge. So that shows how little I know.
That's good.
About shotgun,
well, it's a good thing you own one then.
Yeah. I know that it has a trigger and there's a barrel.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So how long was it between the time you texted dad and the time you got the gun? A week, 2 weeks, a month, roughly?
It was about a month and a half.
A month and a half? What's the ballpark there in Pittsburgh? Where do the Pirates play? Is it PNC Park?
PNC Park.
Right. So PNC Park it for me. About a month and a half? 2 months?
A month and a half.
A month and a half. And how many times were you robbed and pillaged before you finally got that essential home protection?
Zero times.
Zero times, sorry. Janie?
Yes.
How do you feel about Jake's approach to home security?
I definitely was hesitant, and I wasn't for it initially, but now it mostly just collects dust in a corner, so I guess I'm okay with it because it's just an overgrown paperweight at this point.
It's good that you're storing it properly.
Yes, it is being stored properly. The shells are in someplace else. And
sure.
He's
in a shoebox in the front yard, right?
A sleep machine.
Uh-huh.
He sleeps with a sleep machine, and he doesn't hear most of what's going on at night. So I fear that I will be dead, and he'll wake up in the morning and just find my rotting corpse.
coming back to life to eat his brains.
Yes, yeah. I will haunt him too.
So
somehow.
your approach, and this is why Jake brings you to court today, Janie.
Yes.
Is it your approach to home security? The windows don't lock. Is that correct?
I mean, some of them do, some of them don't. And then some of them, we've bought these plastic, and I don't know how easily open they are now with these plastic things. They're kind of like slats that go into place so that if you open the window, it doesn't get very far because it jams.
A shim.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I went to a hardware store once. Those things come in handy.
Yeah, they do.
You also, what you do is you bring them with you when you go to restaurants.
For the table when it's wobbly.
When it's wobbly.
Yep.
Get a
coaster. Oh. A regular coaster from the table.
I just wad up napkins. I guess mine's not very environmentally friendly.
Here comes the t-shirt of the week. It's not as good as a shim.
And the real shims, as opposed to making your own shims, are even better because they're tapered.
Yeah.
You can wedge them in there, crack them where you need them.
You can buy a bunch of hard plastic shims. A thousand of them for a cent.
I get the wood shims.
Fine. I forgot we're in Northampton. Sorry. Recyclable, reusable materials. Put them in the windows to keep burglars from coming in. Keep the things from wobbling. I always have a pocket full of shims. All right. So you put some shims in the windows, and then your other approach to home security is to close the blinds.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it my approach to security per se, but it's something that's I'm hoping a deterrent.
And this is why Jake is specifically bringing you to court, because he thinks closing the blinds is dumb. Jake, explain to your cohabitant why she's dumb.
Well, she's going to refute this, but the low light conditions that this habit causes, I think probably is detrimental to our plants. We're definitely plant people. We have many plants in our home. And, you know, we would be closing the curtains,
Jake,
while we're at work.
Name five plants you have in your house.
Go.
I know this because she actually wrote them down.
Oh no, he's looking at the evidence.
Well, our primary plant is a golden pothos, a snake plant, uh-huh. A Azizi plant.
An Aziz Ansari?
You need to name two more.
Yeah.
Yes, an Aziz Ansari.
And that's all she listed, so I'm going to pretend that's all we have.
Would it be reasonable to say that your concern for the plants is not your primary motivator and is indeed bogus, sir?
Yeah, I'll to it.
Why do you care if she closes the blinds before you guys? Is it before you guys go out or before you guys go to bed?
It would be both.
Janie, why do you do it?
I do it because I don't necessarily think that we have to be the safest house on the block. I just think that
clearly,
we need to make it less, you know, easy for somebody to kind of see what's in our house so that they can actually come in. And I think it'd be more of a gamble.
You want to hide the fact that you have a gun in the corner.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And,
you went from being a moderately unsafe house to the unsafest house on the block.
Yeah, pretty much. That sounds true.
You have a gun in the corner that you do not know even what kind of gun it is.
I'm not in charge of that gun, to be fair. So he's the one that has to deal with
that
gun.
Yeah, but you live there. Anyone who comes into that house could be in charge of that gun.
Yeah. Well, it's by him and he's kind of like sleeps next to it. So I'm hoping that before that point, he would wake up and actually man the gun himself.
While you were just saying all this stuff. Tell them if I'm lying, Monty. I snuck to Pittsburgh and stole your gun.
He has it right here. It's still got the dust on it.
Who's got the gun now?
That would be true. Because I would have heard you, because we do have some alarms we installed.
Oh, so you installed some alarms. When were you going to get around to this pertinent information?
Okay. Well, we installed vibration alarms and this beam connection alarm. And what those do is the vibration, if the glass is tapped relatively hard or broken, it will emit a high-pitched sound. Mm-hmm. And same thing for the beam break alarms. What those do is there's a beam connection, like a laser.
If a door is
opened or the connection is broken, it will also emit a high-pitched alarm. So it's not something that it's going to automatically call 911 or really do much except alert us to the fact and hopefully scare whatever is trying to come in.
Right. And these are some – so you didn't call a big security company to have them install something that is hardwired to their offices?
No, we can't because we rent.
This is the cheapest solution.
Yes. It's cheap and we rent, so I think there are policies against that kind of thing.
Oh, it'd be interesting. I don't know. Have you looked into it?
Yes, we've read our lease, and it's because when maintenance comes in, they don't want to have to trip that and have police get sent, that kind of thing.
So you're not allowed to have one of those alarm companies come in and install a proper home alarm system.
According to our lease, that would be against what they would like us to do. That's not.
Huh. Have you contacted your landlord to say these windows aren't secure, you need to come in and fix them?
We've contacted them about a multitude of things, including a broken doorbell and a couple other things, but they're kind of lax about it. And we've heard from our neighbors that they've been lax about a few things. So we've kind of taken the measures into our own hands.
Is this a person who owns the property that you deal with directly, or is there a management company?
There's a management company, but it's relatively small. It's only about one or two neighborhoods that they allow to rent.
I'm going to introduce a new policy on Judge John Hodgman. As you know, buzz marketing is not allowed, but I encourage buzz shaming. What's the name of this junky management company?
I don't think I want to say. They're going to increase our rent or kick us out.
Why are you afraid of reprisals? You've got a gun you don't know how to use.
I'm not the one who decided to get the gun.
Jake.
No.
You're quick on the trigger. Well, you clearly make a lot of ill thought out decisions. Are you going to name this? Are you going to name this company or what?
Forbes Management.
Oh, yes. Look.
I'm terrified.
If you're terrified, you should move.
Yeah, right.
No.
If you're terrified.
I like my house.
Right, but you're living in fear.
No, I'm not living in fear. I'm living in fear now of a redemption from our landlord.
They're
going to
break in.
They're going to kick us out on grounds.
There are no.
The judge has a light moving van with him right now. He will pick up all of your stuff and help you move if it comes to that.
I already got your gun.
You got the gun already.
I'm counting on that. I'm going to be homeless if you don't.
No, in the most livable city in the United States, the reason it's most livable is it ain't Paris. You can afford to live in a place there. You're both employed. You both deserve to live in a place where your management company is responsive to your reasonable security concerns and other stuff. And if they can't provide that for you, you should be able to get, if you're going to invest in an alarm system, which is only going to increase the value of that apartment, the rentability of that apartment.
Right. That's true.
What a bunch of creeps. That's me saying that, Forbes, not Janie, not Jake. If I hear of any reprisals, I am going to do another strongly worded podcast. So watch out. Jake. Why are you so bothered by Janie just pulling down the window shades? You can do obviously whatever you want that has absolutely no effect upon home security and indeed has a detrimental effect upon home security by bringing an unsecured shotgun into the home. What do you care? What do you care about it?
This is kind of annoying. A farther reaching problem is it's that I believe that she's overly cautious. And that's a symptom, I guess, of a larger illness.
Well, we certainly know you're not overly cautious.
I think I'm compensating.
And specifically, we've had moments where, we're in the car ready to go and she forgets that the blinds aren't down and she has to then come back inside and lower them, and we'll be going grocery shopping. So right. It'll be a 30-minute period where we won't be here.
Yeah, Janie, you think the house jackers who've been casing your place for 5 weeks don't know what's in there already?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know. And I want to minimize the risk that they do know. And hopefully, like, our odd, you know, comings and goings at whatever times will kind of throw them off, too.
You live on the ground floor, or do you have both floors?
Both. We have a house, so it's two stories.
Right. Okay, so but it's a row home. It's connected on either side to another, to other homes. Is that right? Do I understand that correctly?
We're actually on an end, so we're an end home. Oh. And then also, we are the last row in the neighborhood, so behind us is just a bunch of, like, forestry. So it's very easy, especially from the back, for somebody to just open a window, come in and do their thing and get back out without anybody really noticing.
Unsecured approach for criminals, zombies, and raccoons.
Yes, all of the above. As long as they have opposable thumbs.
Jake, if I were to find in your favor, what would you want me to do? Tell Janie to stop doing this thing with the drapes or whatever?
Yeah, I have a written desire settlement. It's only two sentences,
I'll hear it.
Okay. I want Janie to open her heart to open blinds and to accept that this small gesture is one small step toward realizing that every second of your life is a 20-sided dice roll. Being too preventative will impede your enjoyment of life.
Well, I appreciate your nerd pandering in there with your, with your 20D roll reference. Do you sincerely believe that Janie's preoccupation with closing the blinds is interfering with her happiness, either because it is obsessive compulsive in itself, or speaks to a larger issue in Janie's life of her not being able to just let go and enjoy having guns lying around the house or whatever it is?
Absolutely. It's both.
Give me some evidence.
You should go on vacation with her.
I'm thinking about it.
I would love that.
Janie, where are we going to go?
How about Bermuda?
All right. Well, what happens on vacation with her, Jake, now that Janie and I have made a plan? What do I have to look forward to that impedes her enjoyment of everyday life? I'm truly open to this line of argument.
Okay. I would say an overall anxiety until we're like in the hotel room that we booked.
Yeah.
You know, from the day before up to that moment, you know, fretting over things.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to think of a specific example, but
I get anxious about. I'll help you out.
No, no, I have a good one.
Oh God!
We went on vacation last May, I believe, to Portland, Oregon.
Right.
And there was a period of 3 days where she had a bad stomach ache
from overeating
at food carts, and convinced herself that she had appendicitis to the point where I had to talk her out of going to the hospital in Portland.
That's not true. I was not at the point of going to the hospital, but I did feel close. Like I was dying.
How did you talk her out of it?
I don't know that he did. I think went to the bathroom.
Janie, do you have hypochondria?
It depends on the circumstances. I'd say probably sometimes, if I'm being honest.
All right. You said you had another example of ways your anxiety gets in the way of your enjoying stuffing yourself with duck fat fries from a food cart in Oregon or whatever.
Yes, they had good musubi.
What was that word you just dropped? Now I don't care about your inner life. What was that?
Gotta give some context.
What was that knowledge?
Musubi. In Portland, they have such a good array of food carts. They have a very Hawaiian food cart, and they have musubi, which is spam, rice, sushi.
Oh, Portland. Come on.
Yeah, it's pretty tasty. You have to try it.
I like spam, too, but you know what? It's spam. Unless it's some artisanal spam that...
You can get it in Northampton.
Yeah. It's like marinated and all this stuff.
All right.
So, but it's still spam at the end of the day. So take that for what it's
worth. She's from Guam. So
I am from Guam.
Loves spam.
I do.
Oh, cool. Who is I don't remember who was from Guam, who lived on Guam. Was it L. Ron Hubbard? Did he spend some time on Guam in Fishtown?
Fishtown?
I can't remember things. So, all right. But you were going to say, say the name of that again, Musubi?
Musubi. Musubi.
All right, I'll remember that. And I'm sorry to everyone who was yelling at their podcast devices because I didn't know what that was. At least I know that the Pittsburgh Pirates play in PNC Park. Musubi. All right. So how does anxiety get in the way of your enjoyment of life?
There's just little things I overthink. Like, did I actually lock the door? Did I actually turn off the stove? Or there's just all these little things that I go through like a mental checklist in my head. Just, mm-hmm. you know, anxious, anxiety things.
John Hodgman style. You're living your life in a state of constant panic that something's going to fail.
That sounds about right. Yes. And, always on a flux of freaking out. Yeah.
And if it weren't for you, it literally would all fall apart.
It would. Yes. The right? world would collapse as we know it today.
I'm not joking. Give me an example.
Oh, no,
of how
I'm not either.
You took charge of something or were cautious when Jake wasn't. And if it weren't for you, Jake would have fallen off a cliff or whatever.
Fallen off a cliff? I don't even know.
What's something aside from the obvious? What's a foolhardy thing that Jake does while he's or a detail that Jake overlooks while he's so-called enjoying life that you take care of for him, like locking the door, paying the bill?
I mean, yeah, sometimes like that. I mean, I think I just overall have a better sense of our well-being and how we should approach certain things. Whereas he's kind of a, let's just go at it and try to do it. Let's throw these, our cautions to the wind and not read any installation manuals and get guns and just store them improperly and everything of that nature. So I just think I'm safer than him, I guess.
Jake, is Janie holding it all together for you guys? Yes or no?
You know what? We hold each other together.
Aww.
We complement each other.
How long have you lived together?
10 years.
Yes.
Wow. So 10 years, you're 27 years old.
We haven't lived together 10 years. He's saying that we've been together for 10 years.
You've
we've
been
probably
together
lived together
for, 10
for
years.
Probably.
Did you meet in college?
Senior year of high school.
And then we ended up going to the same place. So we continued the relationship.
And where did you go to college?
Around here.
Wait.
It's a little place. It's actually a for-profit university.
What was that?
You afraid they're going to have reprisals as well as if you mention them?
I don't want to give them advertisement,
is it the Forbes Apartment Management School of Apartment Management?
They offer technical degrees in non-leasing well, I guess.
How'd you get from Guam to Pittsburgh?
My father was in the Navy,
right.
And we That's moved around substantially, right. probably almost every year of my life. And he has family not too near to Pittsburgh, but about 2.5 hours away.
Jake, have you ever lived on your own without Janie?
Yes. Through college, we didn't live together.
And where did you live, by yourself or did you live with other dudes?
It was both, because he had periods where he didn't have roommates and then he had periods where there were.
All right. And would you say it was utter squalor, or did you pay the bills?
I did all right. I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm. That's barely saying anything.
Did you ever have to go into the electric company office to pay back bills that you never paid?
Oh, this is a good example.
Yes, it is a good example.
No, but I in my teenage naivety, just stopped paying my internet bill, thinking that they would cancel it after I missed
you
a payment.
Stopped paying.
And then I owed a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Janie called them and talked down how much I owed.
I yelled at them completely until they were so exasperated by the fact that I was yelling at them for so long that they just said, okay, fine, we'll close and we're good.
I think I've heard everything I need to in order to make my decision.
Of course you did.
I'm going to go backstage at the Rex Theater where I keep my Pittsburgh based chambers and eat some French fry sandwiches. I'll make my decision in a moment.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Jake and Janie, I don't know, the judge left in a huff. I think he's made his decision before he even has to go think about it. But Jake, have you ever been a victim of crime?
No.
Have you ever been a victim of crime, Janie?
Kind of inadvertently, when I was in the Philippines, our house was robbed, but I was on the second floor and only the first floor was robbed.
But I'm trying to find the psychology behind all this, why Janie is more worried about it. But then what doesn't make sense to me is Jake not worried about it, angered by the fact that she wants to draw the drapes just so people won't look into their house, but knee-jerk reaction gets his dad to go get a gun him. Is that a registered firearm under your name? Would you rather plead the Fifth Amendment, seeing as they were in a courtroom?
I'm going to plead the Fifth on that. I don't think you need a permit for a shotgun because it's for hunting.
Huh. I'm not sure about the laws in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
That's what my dad
But if your dad said it, must be true. Jake, my other question is, what if she had appendicitis when she was very sick in Portland? My son's appendix just ruptured earlier this year, and it's a harrowing process.
I'll tell you what I did, actually. It was a very scientific approach. I pressed on her stomach, and I had her jump.
That's it. That's what we did, too.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
My son, it didn't hurt either way, and he still had appendicitis, and it's still ruptured.
I'm glad I went to the bathroom in that matter of time then.
That's always something to do when you feel a little bit sick, to make sure. It's like the, reboot your computer before you call IT.
Yeah, and exactly.
We'll be back in just a moment with Judge John Hodgman's decision. Janie, I just can't help to say that we've gone through this whole process about talking about a gun and have not brought up the Aerosmith song. Janie's got a gun.
Janie's got a gun. Of course.
That's all I have to say.
Can I come back now?
That's all I have to say about that.
Can I come back?
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom. Now I'm going to have that Aerosmith song stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
I know.
I had to get back in here before guest bailiff Monty Belmonte turned this into Judge John Hodgman karaoke. Guys, we're all going to start singing along. No way. You guys may be seated. Thank you, guest bailiff Monty Belmonte, as always.
My pleasure.
Monty Belmonte hosts the morning show here at WRSI, The River in Northampton, Massachusetts, 93.9 on your frequency modulation dial.
That's right.
And online at WRSI.com.
Yes, because we're a commercial radio station. It's just so awesome you think we're a public station.
Yeah, exactly. It's a commercial. It's a for-profit radio station. Like Janie and Jake's weird college that they won't name.
Right.
I don't know what.
It's actually owned by the Forbes company. Then
I don't know what's going on there. And
oh God.
So, you guys are adorable creatures of Pittsburgh.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. You're what makes Pittsburgh so livable. Nice people like you. I find it equally adorable that you went to Portland for your vacation.
It's our sister, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Cities that are doing okay. Tour.
Yeah.
2014 or whatever. They have a lot of good food there in Portland. Boy, oh boy.
They do.
Jake, it's fun how you guys wanted to take over my podcast just to have a good time with each other when your fight is meaningless. But Seb, I'm glad you're here in the courtroom because Jake, I feel you a little bit when you started to make that argument about Janie and enjoying life and letting things go a little bit more rather than riding herd on these little details. Because truly, that is something that I struggle with in my in my life, double checking the locks all the time, not counting to 35 or whatever every time. It's not
right.
It's not a compulsion, but it is a preoccupation, I would say. Making sure that the oven is off before you leave the house, making sure the blinds are down so no one steals your snake plant or whatever. And yet I don't feel off of Janie any sort of true OCD stuff that is really getting in the way of her enjoying life. I do appreciate, from a dumb husbandly point of view, why you might come into, and by dumb, I mean, you know, dumb. You're not you're not a husband, but you guys have been together since, you know, you're 10 years old or whatever. No, 10 years, 10 years.
Practically the same thing.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, you've grown up together, and you are de facto husbandly in your almost Lockhornian, I wish you would stop with that dumb girl stuff of closing the window drapes. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. They know what's in there. Come on. We got to drive. That's not a Pittsburgh accent.
I was going to say, is that a Pittsburgh accent?
No. Pittsburgh accent is
one of
the strangest.
No, you got to say like downtown and all that kind of stuff. And yins.
Yeah, yins is the craziest. That means yours, right?
Yes.
Yins, right.
Wow. I didn't know. I love that.
You all, isn't it? Isn't it you
all?
Yeah,
it's like a you all. Yeah.
Yins, yeah. And it's one of the, I thought I had heard them all. From the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the state of Maryland, in terms of my mom was from Philadelphia, and I could never, and I grew up with my aunts all doing, not doing, speaking in a Philadelphia accent. I could never imitate it. And Pittsburghian is even more counterintuitive. The words they say, you don't understand how they make the mouth shapes to make those words.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was just doing my dumb husbandly voice. Stop with the dumb lady thing you do. And I feel you to some degree, because I will confess that there have been times in my own marriage where a habit that seems irrational to me annoys me so much that I want to call up a podcast and yell about it, as I'm sure my wife has felt the same with my own irrational habits, such as checking to make sure that the house is not on fire or whatever. That said, the brio, the giant French fry sandwiches on you, sir, to walk into my courtroom and say, I wish you would quit it with the dumb lady stuff, when you were dumb and doing the most dumb guy stuff that I've ever heard in my life.
I'm going to get a gun.
One thing you don't look, I am not an owner of a gun, and guns have come up on the show quite a bit. And I see no reason why a law abiding person should not keep a gun if they do so within the limits of the law and they do so responsibly. For sport shooting, target shooting, hunting, even self-defense. Keeping a gun in the home, you should know, statistically increases, even when it's properly stored, statistically increases the chances of someone getting killed by that gun in your home, and often self-inflicted death.
I have brought this up before.
Yeah, why, you're encouraging Jake to kill himself?
No, I was definitely against him getting the gun, and I was very adamant about it, but he did his dumb guy stuff and went ahead and got it anyway.
Right.
This should have been our podcast argument.
You should have brought.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He was just trying to. He didn't want to get a gun. He wanted to get your goat. And goat got in that one. Both of Yin's goats got.
Yes. Yes,
t-shirt. That's
did.
A t-shirt for this week.
Both the yins, goats, got. I love that.
Got.
That's great.
Write it down, someone. What you've done with regard to that gun is not okay. I mean, it's just not. You should not ever be in a position where you are saying about a firearm that you own, I could be wrong, It could be legal for me to own it, but I could be wrong. It could be this kind of gun, but I could be wrong. You either give that gun straight back to your dad, because I bet your dad would be mad if he heard about this. Maybe not. Maybe your dad's crazy too. But I'm telling you, yeah, he's not mad. He would be mad.
He's got a cabinet.
If you want to be a gun owner, and you know, it sounds like there's some gun scuffles. You could make an argument. I don't think it's necessary at all for you to have a firearm in your home in Pittsburgh. I think you can secure that house up pretty darn good. But if you want to own a gun, it is your constitutional right to do so. But I am telling you, don't come on my podcast without knowing what kind of gun you have, what kind of ammunition it takes, having it stored properly, knowing everything there is to know about whether or not it's even legal for you to have everything. You need to know everything about that gun cold, and you have to go out and practice in a controlled environment like a range or out in the woods with your dad for, you know, and get training on that thing. I don't like that. I don't like having that gun in there unless it's filled with cement and it becomes a toy. So that is order number one. Order number two, Janie. Life is a 20-sided die roll. And I kind of like the metaphor too, because it's sort of like, you know, it truly is like you can prepare for 1 to 12, but there's still 8 possibilities on that 20-sided die that you couldn't even think were going to come up. I think Jake is a good dude because he came up with that metaphor and he wants you to enjoy your life. But I don't think you got a problem, and I certainly don't think there's any problem with you closing the drapes. All it's going to do is kill your plants. Until that gun gets properly secured, you do whatever you want with the drapes. This is just a little incentive for you, Jake, to do the right and legal thing. Get training on that gun, learn about it, get it secured, or send it away. The minute you have done that to this court's satisfaction, I will order Janie to not touch the drapes for a year.
A year. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
That way you get to be the dumb husband. My wife
can play our respective roles.
She can't touch the blinds. I got a guy to tell her to do it. But in the meantime, I think that what you should be doing, the dumb guy stuff that either one of you could easily do and should do, is fix the locks on the windows, you guys. I think the electric eye and the movement alarms on those windows are great. That's a good thing that you're doing. But you deserve to have peace and sense of security in your home. If Forbes Management Company won't provide that for you, you should fix those locks on those windows and send them the bill. And if they give you any trouble, don't ask me to call them. Janie, you're good at yelling at companies.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, I'll take care of it.
I find in favor of Janie with gross prejudice vis-a-vis the blinds, but I order Jake to secure that gun and receive training on it or get rid of it. At which point, Janie is not allowed to touch the blinds for a year. Did I say a year, really?
A year.
It's a year. Yeah, wow. It's a year.
You did. You said a year.
Unless you move, then all bets are off. If you move apartments, then you can touch whatever you need to touch.
Okay.
And
hooray.
And especially if you get married, you can touch whatever you need to touch then. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that is all.
Jake and Janie. I don't think it was any surprise on how the judge was going to rule when he left the courtroom originally. Jake, what are your thoughts about his ruling? Do you think you're going to get rid of that gun? Are you going to send it back to dad? Are you going to register it properly? Or are you going to fill it with concrete?
I think, I'll learn how to use it. I'll talk to my dad about whether or not I currently legally own it. And I'll take care of it.
A well-regulated militia, I believe, is what the con. You are going to get all well-regulated.
Yeah, I'll get well-regulated.
Janie. Do you really feel safer with the curtains drawn? Is it like being in bed and like I need to sleep with a blanket on me no matter how hot it is? Because I feel that there is some sort of layer of protection from whatever evils of the world may be lurking in my bedroom at night. That little sheet will protect me from an axe murderer or a boogeyman. Is that all that it is?
Yeah, that's pretty. It's a superficial sense of security. Yes, I admit that.
Well, as long as you feel safe, maybe you will act safe, and then you'll go on and have a better life like Jake ultimately wants for you. You will live without fear.
Yeah. And thanks to this ruling, I mean, I don't really have to abide by that, so I can just touch the blinds.
You keep touching the drapes as much as you buy extra drapes. Get those night blindness ones that like can block out the sun completely.
I'll get like 5 of them and stack them.
Or get drapes that look like you have an abandoned apartment in there. So that nobody will want
to
break in.
That would encourage people to move in.
Yeah, then they might try to squat, so maybe don't do that.
Yeah, so no, that's not good.
Well, thank you both for being on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you. It was our pleasure.
Yeah, it was great.
Soundheap with John Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts, like If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey?
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Soundheap with John Luke Roberts. An award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Soundheap with John Luke Roberts, now.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using a limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game, and brilliant guests who come play you. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to clear the docket, Judge John Hodgman.
I'm ready.
Matt writes, my dispute is with my friend Randy, who has had a fractured tooth for well over a year.
I find in favor of Randy. No, go on.
His tooth is now infected. He constantly complains of tooth pain and overuses pain relief pills and Aura Gel. He protests that he can handle the pain. He'll only listen to you, his idol. Will you please order that he seek treatment?
I do so order, because a tooth infection can be very dangerous and can lead to far worse conditions and even death. It's like appendicitis. You don't want to joke around with
it. No, don't joke around.
There are all kinds of weird new linkages based on this article I read on HowStuffWorks.com, home of Josh and Chuck, Stuff You Should Know, another good podcast, friend of the show, saying that for some time, quote, this is my quote, scientists have been seeing a statistical correlation between poor oral health and heart disease. Also, other statistical links, including associations between poor oral health and stroke, rheumatoid arthritis, some cancers, diabetes, respiratory infections, and pregnancy problems, according to the American Academy of Periodontology. Bacteria in the mouth can invade the body. Finding the link between oral hygiene and cardiovascular problems is right at the top of the list, because people with periodontal disease, gum disease, have twice the risk of developing coronary artery disease, according to perio.org. Again, that's howstuffworks.com is where I got that information. The truth is, any infection is serious and can become much more serious. And generally speaking, they're finding more links between oral health and other more serious diseases. So don't be a tough guy. If you got a bad tooth, get it fixed. If you got a region of your abdomen is in intense pain, go see a doctor about it. Don't let your boyfriend talk you out of it. If you have a sense that you might have appendicitis, because that could be fatal within hours, right?
Yeah.
What's the message we need to give to the listeners
about appendicitis?
Well,
what they say
since
is
you learned the hard way.
The hard way, yeah.
And luckily, everything worked out fine.
Luckily, he was in the hospital for a week. 6-year-old. They say, you know, we did the same thing. WebMD. What do you do? How do you know if it's appendicitis or just a regular stomachache? Have them jump up and down. If they can jump up and down, it's probably not appendicitis. Well, 6-year-old could jump up and down.
Right.
Push in on where it hurts. And if it hurts when it's coming out, when your hand is coming out of where you pushed in, then it's probably appendicitis. If it hurts on the way in, it's probably not. Well, it didn't hurt either way. And turned out it was still appendicitis. It turns out 6-year-olds have a hard time articulating the nuances of pain.
Right.
And that's really why his appendix ruptured, because he's a little tough guy. But, you know, and I just say to Randy, well, first of all, you're his idol. You want to be a little more encouraging, less harsh, or is this tough love?
Oh, I'm Randy's idol?
That's what it says. Yeah, that he will only seek, he'll only listen to you, his idol.
I don't care about that. Take care of your teeth, dude. It's not the Middle Ages.
Drink a lot of whiskey until then. Clean it all out.
But question. You seem to be saying that the key to appendicitis, or the takeaway, is you just have no idea.
It's better to go get it checked out right away. In the olden
and
days...
And what kind of pain was he complaining about that led you to even look at the internet?
He vomited, so I just thought it was a vomiting flu. And right. Then he was really lethargic. And then he did say, it hurts right here, and specifically pointed to it. And I said, well, that's where your appendix is, the lower right abdomen. Lower right abdomen. Right. And so...
If you have a pain in that area, just like if you have chest pain... don't mess around with it.
Although I feel like I have chest pain like every day.
Yeah.
And if I can't go to the hospital every day. I can't go to the hospital every day.
Hang on.
Hajimina, you're friends with my 6-year-old whose appendix ruptured earlier.
I just want everyone to know, it's summertime, all rules are off. My daughter has entered the studio. And her name for purposes of privacy is Hajimina.
And my 6-year-old will be Belle Minnie. Hajimina, you know Belle Minnie.
I do.
And his appendix ruptured earlier this year. Any advice for little kids on how better to articulate their pain so their parents know that it's more than just a regular stomach ache and it could be a potentially fatal appendix rupture?
Why would she know? She's not a little kid.
But you
What's
used
wrong
to be,
with
you were a little I'm kid sorry. A lot I'm closer so to when I was this. A little kid.
I think that they should put it into writing.
Write down their pain.
Yes.
And then maybe get published.
Yes. Definitely.
So, I think that's good advice. Why are you making a joke?
I'm not. I think it is good advice.
All right, good.
Shall we continue?
Yeah. You have to weigh in on this. Come around
help,
here. You have to stay
judge.
Up, be on the microphone. And he's gonna read something, some kind of fight between people, and we're going to tell them who's right and who's wrong.
Shelley writes, I come from a loud family and will admit that at times I have trouble controlling the volume of my voice. My dispute is with my husband, Ryan. He will frequently interrupt me to tell me to speak more quietly.
Shh, Monty! Shh!
Or in an effort to be less intrusive, he'll mime a lowering motion with his hands. Either way, I find this rude. I don't want to do damage to Ryan's ears, and I try to keep my voice down, but sometimes I can't help it. Judge, I ask that if Ryan wants me to speak more quietly, he waits until I at least finish a sentence.
All right, Hajimina, I know what I think is... I think I know who's right and who's wrong. What do you think?
I think that you should stop talking so loudly. I don't know. You'll break his ears.
You think that Shelley is wrong because she's talking too loudly, and it's okay for Ryan in the middle of a sentence to say, shh.
I think that he should register that she's being loud in a more reasonable way, and she should also stop being so loud.
Yeah. All right. That's. How would you feel if we were out at a dinner party, or let's say we're at a dinner party, and you're telling a story about your life, and all of a sudden I go, "You're being too loud, little girl. Be quiet." How would you feel? You'd be mad, right?
Definitely.
Right. Yeah. Don't make adults feel bad. Don't make adults like Shelley, or my 12-year-old daughter who is. Technically 35 years old inside, feel like children by shushing them in the middle of a sentence. Ryan, it is okay for you to spare Shelley or my daughter's embarrassment of being a loud talker, but only if you are not embarrassing her while trying to spare her that embarrassment. Take her aside later and say, I'm sorry, my dear wife. You talk a little bit too loud. It's embarrassing and you smell bad. You can add the comment on smell. That's optional.
All people who talk loudly smell bad, by and large.
Do you agree or disagree?
I agree for the part.
Where am I wrong?
I think that if you're talking, like, there's nothing wrong with telling someone they're talking too loudly. You should just, like you said, do it in a less conspicuous way.
In private.
Pull them aside and yell at them privately.
Shut up!
Can you believe how loud you are? You're embarrassing me.
Now, Hajimina, I have one final task for you before we leave. I want you to say, in as condemning a voice as you can, Forbes Management Company of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Forbes Management Company of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I think we've got an infomercial.
Oh, yeah.
An attack ad. Thank you very much. From the mouths of babes or young adults. Thank you very much. That was a summertime experiment, which I think went very well.
I think so, too. She would be a future judge.
She's going to be. That kid's got a podcast in her future.
Hajmina.
Help us all. Oh, my God.
Well, thanks to Matt Cadretta for suggesting this week's case name.
Thanks, Matt.
Daily Security Beefing. To suggest a name for a future case, like us on Facebook. We regularly put out a call for submissions. I've been your guest bailiff, Monty Belmonte, from WRSI 93.9 The River in Northampton, Massachusetts, where I host the morning show. I'm in the program director and do a bunch of other things, including sometimes guest bailiff with Judge John Hodgman. Thanks to Julia Smith, who produces the show, Mark McConville, our editor.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us for the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.